It's Celtics coverage on CLNSradio.com.
A bomb from Thomas.
Dial in right now and share your thoughts toll-free, 347-215-7771.
Celtics post-game show right here, CLNSradio.com. Also ESPN New Hampshire up in the Granite State for those listening on the terrestrial dial. I'm Nick Delto, CLNS underscore Nick. Joined tonight by Jared Scali behind the glass and somebody who took notes tonight, Sam Sheehan. So I'm in big trouble, Sam. You're the stat guy anyway. I got to go to you for just about everything, man. Welcome to the postgame show. I listened the other night. It's great to have you on the team now. And what a great game to co-host with me on as the Celtics defeat the Memphis Grizzlies down there in Memphis. 112-109, final in overtime. Sam, initial thoughts from what I would call probably one of the better wins of the season, right?
Yeah, I would say, you know, what about Isaiah Thomas, huh? I think you got to start and end there. That was just a monster game from IT in the fourth quarter. You know, I think that, you know, we'd probably have to start with, you know, what was a pretty disastrous offensive first half for the Celtics. I tweeted out they went from 308 remaining in the first quarter to 307 remaining in the second, 7 points total. And meanwhile, you have Isaiah Thomas just with an absolutely monster fourth quarter to really sort of right the ship there at the end of it.
Yeah, I mean, another disappearing act in the second quarter. Second and fourth quarters, second quarters in particular, have been horrendous this year for the Boston Celtics. But Isaiah Thomas, I don't know what happened at halftime, and because Isaiah Thomas, I mean, this guy, I don't know, am I speechless maybe for the first time? I mean, he is just unstoppable between being able to get to the basket and not only, you know, being able to get to the free throw line, but then we got to actually have a point guard who hits his free throws. 7 of 10 from three. I mean, the guy was 17 of 17 from the free throw line. We've not had a player like this, dynamic scorer with the ability to get to the line and hit the free throw once at the line. I'd have to say since Paul Pierce, right?
Yeah, I mean, that would be the first place I would start. I mean,
different player.
Yeah, right. I mean, one of the big things with IT, I think one of the big changes we saw down the stretch with IT is they started the fourth quarter with actually Marcus Smart was initiating the offense. They were able to run IT off of the ball for a lot of those early fourth quarter possessions where IT really got going. And the thing is, if you can get IT coming off those weak side screens, rolling to the middle of the floor, there's just so many options there for him. He's really strong, you know, taking care of the ball, you know, getting to the free throw line. I mean, but I think, you know, one of the big things for that is going to be, you know, just really Smart's ability to, you know, let IT come off the ball and set some of that, you know, off ball motion and screens for IT. And, you know, I think we saw that with the, some of the 3-point shooting that came, we were able to get spring IT for a couple of open looks there. And, you know, it really just sort of helped the Celtics stay afloat. And, you know, that was something we didn't see a lot of in the first half.
I think you bring up a really valid point there. Although he didn't have an amazing game, I wouldn't say he had Marcus Smart. Let's just stay away from his box score tonight and focus on what you just mentioned. Marcus Smart giving Isaiah Thomas the ability to play off the ball, that tells me two things. Number one, it's nice that IT doesn't have to have the ball in his hand the whole time. Number two, you're really looking at Marcus Smart from the standpoint of being in more of a point guard ball distribution type position, correct?
Right, exactly. I mean, I think that the way to think about it is, what does a defense have to worry about? You know, a defense always has to worry about the ball. But just with IT and moving him off of the ball, you kind of shift that attention. They've got to, like, rethink where they're going to put the defense out and where they're – you know, you got to keep track of two different guys. You got to keep track of whoever has the ball, and you have to take care of Isaiah Thomas. So that's, you know, that's really something that they have to look forward to.
The Boston Celtics defeat the Memphis Grizzlies in overtime, 112-109 down in Memphis. You're listening to the Celtics postgame show on CLNS Radio, the leading online provider of audio and video coverage of the Boston Celtics. Tonight, you can find us on clnsradio.com. Most postgame shows for the Boston Celtics can also be found on your terrestrial dial up in the Granite State, 912.50 AM. Or ESPNNHradio.com. I'm Nick Gelso, joined tonight by Sam Sheehan, also joined by Jared Scally behind the glass. We'll be hearing from him in a couple minutes as well. Good win for the Celtics as they come back from 17 points down, led behind Isaiah Thomas' career high, 44 points, and just completely filled up the box score. I want to stay with Isaiah for a minute, Sam, because I think he deserves that credit tonight. I mean, where are we looking at Isaiah in regards to league-wide right now? I mean, where is he in the rankings? I mean, is he a top – go ahead.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I think, I think one of the things – I think I saw Keith Smart, a Celtics blog, tweet this out a little bit a little while ago, and I think it's a good point. You know, we got to cut out this fake all-star talk that's, you know, you're hearing some of these people say with regards to Isaiah Thomas. He is like, I mean, you don't get 44 points on 16 shots. You know, you don't do that if you're not an all-star. I mean, Isaiah Thomas is a real deal. He's, you know, someone who is going to do this stuff night in and night out. And, you know, I think, you know, he really is an all-star, and that's not something, you know, that you can just – you can't discredit that anymore. I mean, I think the narrative has always been for a long time that Isaiah Thomas is just sort of an engine. You know, he sort of benefits from being the Celtics' only offensive creator. But, you know, we're really seeing, you know, as that's carried over and you've got Al Horford, you've got Kelly Olynyk, you've got these other guys, he's been fine.
Yeah, I look at this game too, Sam. I think that – and I kind of want to talk about Al Horford real quick because there's been a lot of criticism on him coming into this game as well, with obviously the missed shot at the end of the Houston game, not being able to hit the big shot. And you almost had some criticism again on him tonight. I mean, he did towards the end of that game. He missed a wide-open alley availability opportunity. He didn't make the catch and forced him to go to overtime. And if they lost that game – there would have been another big question mark surrounding him.
Right. And, I mean, I think we saw down the stretch, we saw, you know, what a monster Al Horford can be on defense. Mark Gasol is one of the toughest covers in the NBA. And, you know, he really – we did not hear much out of, you know, Mark Gasol down the stretch into overtime because of, you know, Al kind of smothering him out, staying attached. I mean, the Celtics were, you know, they were really struggling hard early on in the third quarter with that that Conley Gasol two-man game. And, you know, we kind of saw the Celtics sort of figure that out as they went along. And, you know, that's a big part of the game. And I think that, you know, Horford, you know, he really I think it's harder for the casual fans sometimes to, you know, sort of appreciate some of the things that Al Horford does, because a lot of his impact is not actually when he has the ball. But, you know, make no mistake, he's one of the most, if not the most important Celtic on this team.
A lot of times, Sam, too, it's not even on the score sheet. It's just little things like really just, you know, he made an opportunity for Isaiah to happen by not pulling back and asking for the ball, but just kind of pinching down to the hoop and left Isaiah open for a three in the second half, which really kind of sparked this team. And he made some key blocks and made some key buckets, but little things that Al Horford does that really helps jumpstart this team in the right situations and shows he's a team player. Also spark kind of what he brings to this team, especially with the ability to help kind of shut down the two-man game that the Memphis Grizzlies were playing most of the week. To kind of help shut it down at the end of the night was obviously huge for him as well.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you could even look at something as simple as, you know, one of the after timeout plays down the stretch that Brad ran. They had Isaiah start out near half court, ran the clock down to pretty much 1 second left, inbounded the ball to Horford, and he made, you know, a very quick touch pass to Isaiah, who was diving down towards the hoop, perfectly led him. That's not an easy pass. And, you know, especially for a big man. And I think, you know, realizing what a luxury it is to have a big guy where you can trust that sort of execution late in the game, you know, that's a real strength. And, you know, something that really this team, has really needed in the past. And I think they've got it now with Horford. And, you know, to pull out a win against the Grizzlies, who, you know, had really around the league picked up steam as being this very clutch team, to pick up an overtime win against them is it's a big deal.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it shows kind of what this team can be, and shows kind of what the expectations can be as well. Obviously I think the ones we set at the beginning of the year were super high, but that being said, this was a big win. I know Nick Gelso feels the same way. This win was a big deal for this team, because even last year, I think, I mean, without Al Horford, I know Isaiah Thomas had 40 some points and he did it on like no shot attempts at all. But like, I understand all that. But at the same time, without Al Horford, some of those little things don't happen and you probably don't win that game.
Well, you know what? Execution down the stretch tonight, something the Celtics fans at least needed to see from this team, because execution has been so poor down the stretch. And I'm glad you brought up Horford, because Celtics fans right now are loving to jump all over Big Al or Al Horford as a reason for the struggles, especially down the stretch. So to see Al Horford playing well tonight, it's a plus. This game all the way around, I'm not finding many, besides the second quarter disappearing act, which I think we're all getting used to this season, but the Celtics wiped that away in the second half, and there's not much negative to talk about on this team tonight, and that feels good in a season that's been so up and down, Sam, so up and down.
Right, and I mean, I think a lot of credit of that has to go to, you know, the coaching staff. They made some really big adjustments in that second half. We were getting killed by JaMychal Green. I mean, he had 11 rebounds in the first half. And, you know, I tweeted it out before the game. It's going to sound like a joke, but keeping, you know, JaMychal Green off the glass is a big part of beating this Grizzlies team, and they didn't do a good job of it in the first half. You know, you've got to worry about that Gasol-Conley two-man game, and, you know, he could run wild. We saw the Celtics yank Amir early, go to Jarebko, sort of searching for someone who could shut him down, and we saw Jarebko pick up early fouls when he came in the game trying to slow down JaMychal Green. And that sort of came back to haunt the Celtics a little bit in that half in terms of, you know, foul trouble and those sorts of things. You know, I think the big thing that the Celtics did was we saw a lot of defensive engagement. We really saw Isaiah Thomas deserves a lot of credit defensively tonight too for sort of gutting out that third quarter. I mean, David Fizdale went after Isaiah Thomas at the top of the third with those just relentless barrage of Conley, Gasol, two-man game, putting Isaiah in those pick and rolls and making Isaiah, you know, play some pretty intense defense. And, you know, it didn't go well all the time. They scored their points. But Isaiah, you know, he fought. He got his hand on a couple balls. He survived enough that the Celtics were able to hang in that game, force overtime, and then make that monstrous fourth quarter run when the Grizzlies kind of had to go to their bench and rest, you know, Conley and Gasol later on, end of the third, top of the fourth.
Boston Celtics post-game show, CLNS Radio, ESPN New Hampshire. Opening segment tonight is powered by Blue Apron, and what a perfect time to talk about good food, because it's the holidays. So Celtics post-game show, powered by Blue Apron. It's number one fresh ingredient and recipe delivery service in the country. The Blue Apron mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Blue Apron achieves this by supporting a more sustainable food system, setting the highest standards for ingredients, and building a community of home chefs. Tonight, because you're listening to this post-game show, we're offering you three free meals and free shipping. So your first three meals are free and free shipping. go to blueapron.com/CLNS. That's blueapron.com/CLNS. Blue Apron, the perfect holiday gift. So back here, Nick Gelso, Sam Sheehan, Jared Scally behind the glass. Momentarily, we'll open the call lines. The Movement Watch is toll-free call lines, 347-215-7771. We'll open the call lines in just a minute. For now, let's stick on tonight's action down in Memphis. The Celtics defeat the Memphis Grizzlies 109-112 in overtime. Sam, I'm glad to hear you bring up the coaching staff. In the last couple of games where the Celtics have played really up and down, we talked a bit about late game ineffectiveness. And some fingers were starting to point towards the coaching staff as maybe not making some questionable timeout calls, some questionable rotational moves, and then the Celtics being ineffective down the stretch, especially out of timeouts. So tonight to see Brad Stevens have such a strong impact in this game, in the Celtics coming back from a 17-point deficit, as you mentioned, talk about some of those adjustments that he did make in the second half that were able to get the Celtics back into the game.
I think one of the biggest adjustments was the Celtics hitting shots. And I don't know how much of that credit can go to the coaching staff, but I think that they did sort of figure out a rotation that, was a little bit more comfortable and, understood some of the aspects of the game a little bit more. For example, Trey Daniels was sort of one of the only guys on the Grizzlies who could really hit shots. And we saw him get free quite a bit. And I think that one of the biggest, things was sort of figuring out the personnel. I think we saw, near the end of overtime, Marcus Smart, just guys who can't get screened, just sort of denied Troy Daniels some of that space. And it really, stagnates that Grizzlies offense because they don't have, they really don't have anyone besides Gasol and Conley who can create a lot of offense. So, if you can sort of jam up the Grizzlies at the point of attack with some of this stuff, it really affects their ability to score. And I think we saw that down the stretch. One of the other big adjustments was, I was just talking about Isaiah Thomas sort of gutting out, being put in those pick and rolls with Gasol quite a bit. The other thing was we saw Brad sort of sit on this all game, and I saw Twitter talking about it a little bit. Why is IT the one on Conley? And I think we got our answer down in the fourth quarter when he unleashed Bradley on Conley, and they sort of had IT on Daniels hiding, and it kind of worked to perfection. Bradley really bothered Conley down the stretch, and that sort of threw the Grizzlies out of whack a little bit. We saw a couple of times Daniels did get loose because Isaiah Thomas doesn't quite have the length to bother it, and he's not as good as Bradley at fighting through those screens. But I think it's a good pick your poison adjustment just in terms of taking the Grizzlies out of their comfort zone and making a guy like Troy Daniels beat you.
And it worked. It worked. Mm-hmm. Let's go to a quick break. We'll come back. We'll open the call lines. We'll also continue to talk Isaiah Thomas. I want to get Sam and Jared's opinion on where Isaiah stands, I guess, in the little man game. I know it's kind of like a cliche question because of Isaiah's height, but I think it'd be cool to kind of discuss if we've seen anybody this dynamic and this potent on offense at this size. So let's hit the break and we'll come right back. Celtics postgame show, CLNS Radio, ESPN, New Hampshire.
Not all in green. I'd like to take a minute and tell you about Audible.com, Celtic Stuff Live's newest sponsor. Audible is offering our listeners a free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. All you have to do is go to audible.com/try now and browse the selection of audio programs. Download a title for free and start listening. It's that easy. Audible is a leading provider of premium digital spoken audio information and entertainment on the Internet. Audible content includes an unmatched selection of audiobooks, original audio shows, news, comedy, and more from the leading audiobook publishers, broadcasters, entertainers, magazine and newspaper publishers, along with business information providers. One great selection I'd recommend is Bob Ryan's Scribe, which is narrated by Bob himself. Just go to audible.com/try now to redeem your free audiobook along with a 30-day trial membership. That's audible.com/try now. Get started today.
Hi, this is Larry H. Russell with a message on behalf of the network. As a leading online provider of audio-video coverage of the Boston Celtics, CLNS Radio delivers fans the most provocative discussion and analysis from the most noted personalities in the Celtics realm of the World Wide Web. Home to the number one rated weekly podcast which covers the NBA's winningest franchise, Celtics Beat is released first thing every Sunday morning. We deliver the most unique and informed vantage point and the lowdown on all things Boston Celtics from players, league executives, and the biggest names in the national basketball media. And it doesn't end there. The original Celtics podcast, Celtics Stuff Live, is back and better than ever before. Available Mondays on CLNSradio.com, Internet Radio Pioneers, and Celtics Diehards, John Duke and Justin Poulin go heavy on Boston basketball. With fun and engaging dialogue, CSL interacts with fans with weekly tweet and mailbags, all while featuring guests that are of the most familiar voices to Celtics Nation. Basketball in Boston is white hot this NBA season, and you don't want to miss any of this. Download the free CLNS Radio mobile app now. Available for your iPhone and Android.
This is Jared Weiss of the Garden Report Live postgame show, and let's talk about Indochino, whose made-to-measure suits will have you looking like $1 million. But now, with our promo code GARDEN, their $800 custom suits will cost you just $389. That is over 50% off a made-to-measure suit. So visit their showroom on Newbury Street in the Back Bay to get fitted today for your made-to-measure suit, and you can start looking as sharp as we do on the Garden Report. We visited the showroom to get fitted, and it was an incredible experience. They are filled to the cuff with fabric selections, with pretty much any pattern and color combination that you can think of for a suit. You pick your lining, you pick your lapel, your monogram, and more. They even have custom shirts, too, so you can get the exact collar that you want. I'm getting a shirt with a cutaway collar, which is something that I have a lot of trouble finding, so I'm excited about that. The measurement process is actually pretty fun. Your style guide just makes it an easy experience. You show up to the store, you kick back, relax, and you just get ready to step into a perfectly fitting suit in just 4 weeks. So go to Indochino.com to book your appointment at their Boston showroom, and you can get any premium suit for just $389 when you mention the code GARDEN. You're just not going to beat that deal anywhere. You cannot get a made-to-measure suit of quality construction and fabric even near that price anywhere. And to have it this accessible and easy and fun, you just can't beat it.
Welcome back to the Celtics postgame show. CLNS Radio, CLNSradio.com, ESPN New Hampshire, ESPNNH.com. Nick Gelso, Sam Sheehan, Jared Scally here breaking down tonight's action from Memphis. Celtics defeat the Grizzlies 112-109. We're going to open the Movement Watch's toll-free call lines, and you could reach us there at 347-215-7771. Again, that's toll-free. Thank you to Movement Watches, 347-215-7771. While department store watches start at $400 to $500, the good folks over at Movement Watches have taken the middleman out of the equation and passed the savings directly on to you. Movement Watches are sleek, fashionable, and most importantly, they are affordable. Starting at just $95, you can get an additional 15% off plus free shipping and free returns by going to movementwatches.com/Celticsbeat. Even the name is cool. It's MVMTwatches.com/Celticsbeat. So back here in the studio, CLNS Radio, I'm going to start with Jared Scally. Jared, where do you rate IT in the world of little guys? I guess, let's say 5'11 and under. I think Isaiah Thomas is around 5'8". Who cares where he lists his height? I think having stood next to him, being 5'7", I could say he's about my height. The guy's incredible. Jared, where
is
he
standing
for
you?
I was a power forward in grade school, you know. I was a swing four and swing three in high school. But go ahead. Isaiah Thomas.
I think that with what he's doing, with what his height, it's kind of it's remarkable what he's doing. He ranks pretty high. You think of other guys who played at that kind of height, and obviously Earl Boykins was like, what, 5'3", 5'2", I don't even know. But you think of short guys, and he's got to be up there on the list for me. No, I'm still not going to – I am a strong believer still that he's not a top-two piece of a championship-winning team, but he's fun to watch. He's doing crazy things. 44 points on, what, 16 shot attempts is something that you don't take lightly. Obviously, he gets the free throw line a lot, and that's how you do that. But I think it's something where he's basically created a niche for himself in the NBA, and he's learned it very well. What he does sometimes, it's almost the same way we awed and oohed and kind of gushed over what Rondo did for all those years, or the way he passed the ball. Kind of the same thing with the way Isaiah Thomas is creating those angles. But that being said, I don't know. I don't care where he ranks among the little people if he's not going to win me a championship. So, and I don't think he's going to. But for your question, I do think that he ranks high in the little people conversation because, I mean, not that many people can do what he can do with his height. That's why he's so good, and he's going to probably get paid after his contract's up, and you're going to have to pay him if you want to keep him. He's doing a remarkable thing. Sam, I don't know what you believe on this, but he's someone in this. If you're taking a bunch of little people from the past and put him in the game, I'm taking Isaiah Thomas over a lot of people, but with everybody else involved, I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, it's that's sort of one of the pallors hanging over the season, right, is, you know, the Celtics guard situation, decisions that have to be made, and sort of, you know, the continuing, you know, general disbelief, and I don't think you're alone, Jared, in the thought that, you know, is IT, can he be a starting point guard on, you know, a championship roster? You know, and you see games, you know, it's easy for us tonight in games like tonight when Isaiah just put the team on his back, willed them to victory. You know, I think I just saw a Chris Forsberg stat. He tweeted out something about Isaiah Thomas took, you know, double digit shots from beyond 15 feet in the fourth quarter, and he made all of them in to overtime and including free throws, three pointers. He made them all. And that's, you know, that's just monstrous. So, you know, when you've got, you know, there's a little bit of recency bias with those sorts of things. But, you know, at the same time, I also, you know, it's also interesting to think about. I don't think that you necessarily can't win with IT. You know, I think it is, you know, he does have some flaws. And when you get to the championship level, you know, you are going to be, you know, we would see in playoff series, I think we're going to see it in Celtics in the playoffs this year, more series where Isaiah Thomas is sort of hunted by opposing defenses, game planned for, and those sorts of things. But I think he's definitely an all-star, and I don't think that you can, you know, it's tough to discount just the raw efficiency that he's, you know, getting things done with. I mean, he is, you know, he's against the best defenders on the team every night. He is, you know, probably the top of the opposing team's scouting report, depending on, you know, what's going on with Al Horford. And he's still getting it done, you know. So that's it's tough, but, you know, it's going to be very interesting to see what Danny Ainge and the guys, you know, do with him come 2018.
And watching him play, too, and Nick, it's an intriguing question because – I always sit here and talk about Isaiah Thomas wherever I'm on the air, and it's talking about how, you know, in the playoffs, it's hard to trust in him because he banks a lot of his situation and his gameplay on getting to the free throw line. Tonight, one of his best games of his career is actually going to go into my back pocket as one of my best ammo situations down the road for arguing why this guy might not be a best fit for help you in the playoffs, because he's not going to get that many free throw attempts in one single playoff game probably ever in his career. And so you look at the way he did score tonight and the way he played tonight, he relied heavily on getting calls, getting to the line in that situation. And in an NBA playoff game, you're not going to get the line that many times. So can he consistently do that? Being the number one option? No. Being the number two option? Probably not. I'm intrigued to see how it works this year. If they do make the playoffs, knock on wood, they better make the playoffs. but if they don't, I'd be very, very annoyed.
Yeah, you and me
but
both.
I think we all. That being said, when they get there, if that happens, I'm intrigued to see what Al Horford can do and help Isaiah Thomas be a little less of the focus, because right now he still is the focus. Nothing's changed because Al Horford hasn't proved really that much at the end of games yet. Yes, tonight helped with the way he kind of put that layup and got that play out of the timeout and overtime. But he still missed a wide-open alley-oop layup that he should have caught and put in to end the game in regulation. So I don't know if teams are really game-planning for Al Horford to get the ball yet. And I don't even know if Al Horford's probably not really happy about that either. But I think you're going to have to start to bring some attention off Isaiah Thomas if you want him to do anything for you come playoff time, for sure.
I can say, Sam, don't you think that's a personnel move? I mean, we just need more guys, more talented guys,
right.
I think, than that.
Well,
you know?
I think especially with a lot of the more of the CBA sort of stuff emerging this week, you know, Eric Pincus of Basketball Insiders getting, you know, starting to get some of those term sheets, and we're starting to get concrete details on some of this stuff. You know, because the rookie scale increases are only going to be 15% instead of the rumored 45%, it's looking like the Celtics are actually going to be in pretty good shape for 7 to 9 year max space. You know, that said,
all right, now wait,
we
break that down into layman's terms, English, for listeners that aren't
okay.
brilliant cap so, experts.
Right. Okay. Non-robot terms. Basically what happens is the Celtics are going to have, they're going to have rookies. They're going to have rookies next year. Depending on, you know, we're assuming Azizic is coming over. We're assuming we've got an inbound, Nets pick, I think most are assuming Yabusele is coming over, but, you know, that's been questioned a little bit depending on how much space the Celtics are going to have. All of those rookie deals are on what's known as a rookie scale. And with this new collective bargaining agreement that happened, those salaries are going up. And it was originally rumored that those were going to be going up by 45%. Now they were only going to be going up by 15%. It was the final term. So that creates more space for the Celtics because they had so many guys on rookie scale contracts. And it's looking like they're going to be a lot closer to that amount that they would need to max out guys with 7 to 9 years of NBA experience. Cause you know, that's how they stagger player maximums, is by how many years of experience you have. So what happened there is now the Celtics were looking down the barrel of having to get rid of a major piece to get to that space if, you know, some of these numbers had broken a little differently. And it still might end up that way, but probably not. But, you know, you might have had to get rid of Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, Isaiah Thomas, maybe even if you wanted to have that maximum cap space. But now Celtics seem to have gotten a little bit lucky with some of these term sheets, and it looks like they're going to be in better shape. Now, that said, the other new rule is this designated veteran player exception. And in layman's terms, what that means is that really good players are going to be able to make a lot more money staying on their same team. And that makes guys like Blake Griffin a little bit less likely to hit the free agent market. So, you know, guys like Gordon Hayward kind of become the new top targets. If you want to talk about personnel moves the Celtics might make this offseason.
Sam, that also creates less of an opportunity for super teams, because I know that was the focus, that as much as they enjoy Golden State, the league is trying to stop that kind of stuff from happening, which it seems like reading kind of into the new CBA as well.
Right, exactly. I mean, well, I think one of the bigger stresses, I don't think they're necessarily against super teams. I think they more just want teams to be able to hold on to their own players a little bit more. And so one of the ways they did that with to get the players to agree to it is they allow the players with this designated veteran exception can get 35% of the cap as a maximum if they make, you know, an all NBA team, defensive player of the year, MVP. So, you know, one of the narratives that does, the players can make more money, but it also ties players and their salaries to media voting. And it's going to be very interesting to see how that plays out, because, you know, guys are going to be, you know, being voted for by media members, you know, people who don't play the game. And it's going to directly affect their paydays. I mean, we kind of saw something like this with, you know, the Rose Rule and Anthony Davis not being able to make the team. But, you know, that's another really important and really interesting aspect of all this.
We're talking about Isaiah Thomas and, you know, career night, what he means to the team. Everyone knows my take on Isaiah Thomas. I've said it over and over again. But what does this mean for him? Does this mean, I mean, it seems to me, and this is what I'm reading into, is the Celtics are more likely to be able to keep him and not kind of mortgage their team to do so, which is more likely what they'll want to do if they don't have to give a major asset to do it.
Right. I think, well, you know, part of the thing with Isaiah Thomas and, you know, by extension, Avery Bradley and Marcus Smart and their other 2018 free agents is these guys are so underpaid. Just ridiculously underpaid versus the rest of the league. And that's why the Celtics are going to have maximum cap space probably in the upcoming offseason. But I think, you know, the Celtics are going to need to make some decisions about IT because, you know, like you were saying, Jared, you are definitely not the only one to have these thoughts about Isaiah Thomas and how far can he really take you. And the Celtics in 2018 are, you know, all the salaries are going to be going up and they're going to be locking themselves into the next iteration of their team, whatever that means. And, you know, they're going to need to make some decisions. Do they want to, you know, put it all on Isaiah Thomas and, you know, Al Horford? You know, maybe they might even look into trading Al Horford if IT were to go and sort of rebuild with the Nets picks and some of their younger players. Or do they, you know, triple down on maybe – you know, one of the guys I've been looking at, a guy like Paul Millsap, go old, go win now, and sort of let those players develop, maybe make a trade, see what Larry Bird wants for Paul George, for example, and really try to make your own super team. But, you know, that's a bigger gamble because you'd be sending out these young players. So, again, very interesting what's going to happen from a team-building perspective going forward. But, you know, at the same time, talking about Isaiah Thomas, talking about that monster night tonight, I mean – man, it's awful hard to not, you know, respect what he does out there in a game like tonight when everything was just going wrong and he just wills the team to victory.
Yeah, and I also and this also poses a huge question. And you watch Avery Bradley play on the road, and tonight was obviously an example of that. He just plays so well on the road, Avery Bradley. And I don't know about you, Sam, but I look at the way he plays, the way Isaiah Thomas plays. I think there's more realistic shot of Avery Bradley being on this roster and making a major contribution, if not starting, on the Banner 18 team than there is for Isaiah Thomas to be that person. I think Isaiah Thomas has too much value as a trade piece, if that's something they want to talk about. And I think there's just too much value with him, like you said, talking about being paid. Avery Bradley is just as underpaid as a lot of people. When we first signed that deal, I remember – we were all up in arms. A lot of people were up in arms about, look at the money he's getting paid. Why is Avery Bradley making that much money? I think a lot of people.
I was one of those people. Yeah.
Did you not know what the CB money was going to be? Because when you talk about it, it really does undervalue what he did at the time, Danny Ainge signing Avery Bradley to that number, because now you're getting an all-star for very, very little money. I think it's going to be more realistic for him to be on this team and get paid than it is for Isaiah Thomas long-term in some Banner 18.
I'm going to kind of weave a little bit on this. I think the Celtics, probably the Celtics' biggest trade piece is actually Jay Crowder, just because of it's ridiculous the number of years. He has 4 years still left on his deal at $7 million. And
yeah.
You know, he should be making probably – double to maybe even triple what he's actually making. You know, he's a 3-and-D swing who can, you know, defend, you know, guys like LeBron, you know, like Durant, some of these guys, and, you know, slow them down. He's just going to be incredibly, incredibly valuable. But, you know, what makes him so valuable is that guys like Jay Crowder are really hard to find. And, you know, if you do want to win at some point, you need someone like Jay Crowder. So why would you get rid of him if you want to be winning in the next couple of years? So he's someone else to watch in terms of what the Celtics' future plans are and how far out they see their contention window.
Yeah, and I'm intrigued to see kind of where it goes. Let's go to the Movement Watches toll-free phone line now, 347-215-7771. I know Nick Sesento has been listening. Let's give him his time here, like he always wants to talk when he's not behind the glass in my position right now. Nick, what do you make of we're just talking about this, Avery Bradley and Isaiah Thomas, and obviously both needed to get paid. We know Avery Bradley makes a lot less money than he deserves after signing that deal a while ago. Who do you think is more realistic to be on the roster come that next banner, being Avery Bradley or Isaiah Thomas?
Well, I think is definitely a conundrum, and I apologize if my phone is intermittent sometimes, it gets a little stutter or whatever. I think it's definitely a conundrum because, like you said, Avery Bradley is definitely underpaid, $8 million a year, which I think a couple of years ago there were certainly people that thought that was a little bit too much, but obviously now with the new CBA it's incredibly inexpensive. A report came out early last season that he was already, that there were rumblings, I think, coming from his agent that he was already looking for, you know, more money, that he was already expressing a little bit of, you know, displeasure with the fact that he wasn't making quite as much as he thought that he deserved. So, and then when you look at it.
Play out your
contract. As he should. I mean, there's a saying in Spanish, you know, a closed mouth doesn't get fed. The baby that doesn't cry doesn't get, you know, milk. So,
Nick, sounds much better in Spanish.
Yeah, I'm sure it does. Que no llora, que no mama. That's what we say in Spanish.
Now that was much better.
but yeah, the closed mouth doesn't get fed. And yeah, Avery Bradley deserves it, but then you look at a game like Isaiah Thomas. I mean, a player like Isaiah Thomas in the game that he had tonight where, you know, like you guys already mentioned, he wills the team to victory. You look at what happened in the games that he was out where we had Marcus Smart playing basically that point guard spot. And, yes, Marcus Smart has made advances in his ability to pass and see the court this year.
Here it comes, hating on Marcus Smart.
No, I'm not even going to knock on it. I'm not even going to mention the fact that he played 22 minutes and had 0 points and then didn't even get in the game overtime. I'm not going to mention that
at all. But he had a good pass or two. He had a good pass or two.
Yeah,
Nick. He dribbled well tonight. He can
pass the ball. I'm not saying that, but is he ready
to be... Well.
He dribbles well, but is he? He dribbles well, but is he? Listen, Nick is throwing shade, you know, on the like kind of like some slick, you know, little shade right there. But is he ready to run?
No.
Is he ready to run the Celtics offense? And
no.
I mean, we can. I've been listening to the ideas that you guys are throwing out there, and I like Paul Millsap. I liked Paul Millsap maybe 3 or 4 years ago before he was about to turn 32 years old. And if you decide you want to go old and put Paul Millsap next to Al Horford, where did that get the Atlanta Hawks the past several seasons? They didn't go anywhere, and Al Horford and Paul Millsap aren't suddenly going to, you know, spike their production all of a sudden and get better and bring the Celtics team to some place that the Atlanta Hawks, who had 4 All-Stars last season, didn't get last year. So, I mean, it's going to be an issue. You got to figure out a way to get, you know, my personal opinion is I just don't see how you part with a guy like Isaiah Thomas. People, the only knock on him is his size, and people don't like the fact maybe his defense isn't quite as fantastic because he's not big enough to guard, you know, some of these other players, but neither is Avery Bradley. Avery Bradley is a 6'1" shooting guard. And who is he guarding at, you know, at 6'1"? He's guarding bigger players, and he's still making the second team or first team all defensive team. So, you know, the same knock that you could have on Isaiah Thomas, you're going to have on Avery Bradley. And I just don't think that this talk of complete roster overhaul, you know, trading Al Horford, who we just brought in, is the biggest free agent signing. Getting rid of Isaiah Thomas, complete roster overhaul, and then turning the keys over to Marcus Smart, that just doesn't make sense. I think that, and I agree completely that Jay Crawford as well is probably the most valuable piece due to his talent level, but also his incredibly fantastic salary, his contract. But I think that getting rid of a player like Marcus Smart or somebody, you know, Kelly Olynyk's not going to get very much because he's in a contract season, and he's not really going to get, you know, much the way he's playing now, and teams know that he's going to hit free agency. I just don't see another piece on the team unless you really want to get rid of Avery Bradley, and I don't think anybody wants to do that the way that he's playing right now, rebounding, playing both sides of the ball, and I just don't see how you can get rid of Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is still young.
Nick,
he's a building block.
Take a breath. Breathe in, breathe out. Let's give Sam and Scally a chance to respond to all of that information.
I also look at this. I'm not asking Marcus Smart to take the keys right now. I look at Marcus Smart as a player to be here long term, more than Isaiah Thomas. Isaiah Thomas is your biggest trade chip right now, hands down, no questions asked. Because some team will overpay for the guy, and some team will say, "Yeah, we will back up the Brinks truck for you, man. Come on, play for us." And that's something that I don't think Danny Ainge is going to do. I don't think he will do it because I think he sees that in the playoffs, this guy is not going to get the calls like he always does. He's not going to get the situation that helps him score these kind of points like he does tonight on a consistent basis. Yes, I love the fact that he's great in the fourth quarter, but that being said, he can't do it. He's not going to do it every night, and he doesn't have the tools to be successful come playoff time. We've seen it. We've had him in a playoff run like that. I don't think it's worth it. And, man, I got to get Chris Forsberg on the show because I know he supports my decisions, and I just need someone to back me up for a while.
I think I kind of want to clarify real quick. When I'm talking about roster overhauls, I'm talking about 2017, next year, and the trade deadline. I'm pretty sure we're going to go into the trade deadline and into the playoffs with the team looking pretty much the same as they do right now. Because, you know, it does look like the Celtics are going to have that 7 to 9 year max space, and we're not going to see them trade for, you know, a middling guy who's going to have money left on his contract going over into next year because that detonates that space. I think that, you know, when I'm talking about, you know, guys like Paul Millsap or, you know, picking up some of those big free agents, it's with the idea that free agents don't cost you anything except for, you know, season ticket holder money. And that, you know, you still have these Brooklyn picks and these young players to cash in for a fourth star to go with Isaiah Thomas, Al Horford, and whoever you signed. And I know, you know, that's probably pretty unpopular with some of this stuff. But, you know, I think what we're going to see the Celtics do, I think a lot of what happens going forward is going to depend on how the Celtics do in the playoffs this year. The Celtics are going to take that to look at how close is this team to being able to go to the promised land. If it looks like, you know, this team isn't going to work, they're too far away, there's too many problems, we might see them blow it up and get young. If they do, you know, do well, I think we might see them go towards that more aggressive timeline where you bring in older veterans and get things together. I just want to point out Paul Millsap, 32 years old. There was another power forward we got around 32 years old, and then he turned out pretty well when we traded for him. That's
game. Oh, man, like that
also has $20 million of contract for next year. He has a player option for $20 million for 2016-17. So you got to convince him to say, hey, if we're going to bring you in for this year to help, you know, compete for, you know, whatever, to compete for a championship this year, to contend for a championship this year, we don't want you to pick up that $20 million player option for 2016-17. I like Greg Monroe, but, I mean, nobody seems to agree with me on that. And he's in a similar position. He has a player option for 2016-17.
Doesn't LHR agree with
you on
that? He did for the
longest time. Oh, yeah. Larry H is big on Moose as well. But see, he has the rebounding.
Yep. Yeah. Well, you and we have a spectacular on Christmas Day because Larry will be hosting the postgame show solo. And Nick, thanks to you for helping him do it because he can't run his own board, which
right.
I think is great, too. So everybody who is annoyed with Larry H. Russell throughout the NBA season, and I know there's a lot of you, feel free to call us toll-free on Christmas Day. And get in line, baby, because I've already been getting
big market
emails.
Keys right there, Nick. Yeah. Big market keys.
Right. I'm gonna sabotage his line for that Bogut rumor. I'm gonna sabotage his phone lines for the Bogut rumor.
That started with him too. I mean, you got to give the guy credit. I don't know, one of his sources picked that up, and but that didn't really go anywhere. And feel free to call in Christmas Day and give it to Larry 347-215-7771. But as for tonight, we're up against it, folks. It was a condensed version as the game went into overtime, and the Celtics did defeat the Memphis Grizzlies 112-109 in overtime down in Memphis. Quickest postgame show in a long time, I think. So we're going to wrap it up. Today's show is brought to you by Blue Apron. Go to blueapron.com/CLNS for 3 free meals and free shipping. Also, don't forget our friends over at Movement Watches. It's pronounced movement, but it's spelled MVMT. So MVMTwatches.com/CelticsBeat for 15% off your first purchase, free shipping, free returns. Don't forget audible.com/try now. That's our free 30-day trial offer to you, the listeners. Music today was provided by Nick Sacento, who you just heard, and also Joshua Morse. We want to thank Nick for calling in, and for executive producer Larry Russell, Larry H. Russell, program director Justin Pullen, and me, Nick Gelso. And for Sam Sheehan from the ever-famous Reddit group on the other side of the mic. Way too short of a show, Sam. I wanted to kind of pick your brain a bit more, but we are up against the clock. And also, of course, for Jared Scali behind the glass. Don't forget, follow us on Twitter at CLNS Radio, Facebook /CLNS Fans. Download the free CLNS mobile app for iOS and Android. I'm Nick Gelso. Celtics defeat Memphis Grizzlies 112-109 down in Memphis, and we are out of here.